Father, I want to thank you for this moment, because to this point the service has been doubly blessed. And in the remaining moments, Lord, we want you to bless this part just as much, that we can clearly hear your voice, Jesus. We can clearly see your face, that no one will leave here discouraged, but instead convinced that you care about us and you're preparing us for the crisis that's coming. So bless now as we look at part three. It's time for you to act. In Jesus' name, amen. James Madison, the fourth president of the United States of America. And by the way, the primary author of the Constitution of the United States said this: "We have staked the whole future of our new nation not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of our political constitutions upon the capacity of each of ourselves to govern ourselves according to the moral principles of the Ten Commandments." And I want you to know that today, many people, including Christians, believe that on the cross of Calvary, Jesus nailed the Ten Commandments, and they're no longer relevant. I want you to know that Jesus disagrees. Let's take a look at these verses. Notice, here we are again between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane. Look what Jesus said in John 14:15. Read it with me. "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then John 14:21. Jesus said this. Read it with me. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And then in 14:23, Jesus said these words. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." And then John 15:4, verse 10. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And finally, John 15:14. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Wow. I put some thought into this. The commandments have been nailed to the cross, yet before Jesus got to the Garden of Gethsemane, five times he told his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Why, Lord? Oh, because shortly I'm going to do away with them. Does that make sense to you? No, it doesn't make sense to me either. So, brief summary, check it out. First time, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Second time, "He who has my commandments and keeps them." John 14:23, Jesus answered and said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my words." John 15:10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." And finally, 15:4, "You are my friends." Folks, focus on these words. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." You know, the antithesis to that would be, If you don't do what I command you, are you afraid to say it? You are not my friends. See, love one another. New commandment I give you, that you love one another. By this, they, the world, will know that you are my disciples. Five times before the Garden of Gethsemane from the upper room, Jesus repeated the importance of the commandments and for them to be kept. What was Jesus telling us in this repetition? Number one, the commandments must be what? They must be eternal. For example, in the Old Testament, and folks, I'm going to tell you, by the grace of God, I've cut this short. There are 6 billion texts in the Old Testament I could quote. But I only have time to, for example, maybe quote one. But if you get on your knees and pray to God and then read these texts at home yourself, you will see what I have come to learn. The Ten Commandments are still in force. It is a description of who God is, and with the Holy Spirit, we can be like God. And in the last days, it's absolutely essential because Jesus is returning. Take a look at what it says in Matthew 7, 17 through Matthew 5. This blows my mind. Do not think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. Could it be any plainer? I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That means He came to live them out in real life with human flesh so that we have an example that we can do it with the Holy Spirit. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Has the world, heaven and earth passed away yet? And then take a look at Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. The commandments, folks, are eternal. They're a transcript of who God is. Number two, tereo. Tereo is the Greek word meaning keep. The definition in Greek is to guard from loss or injury properly by keeping the eye upon. These are interesting. Keep my commandments. Keep your eye upon the commandments. Guard the commandments. And then it says to obey, observe, keep, fulfill a duty. That's what the Greek word means. And I want you to see this, folks. The last day book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, which everybody agrees is about the last days. I want you to see what it says in Revelation 1:3. It says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Revelation 12:7, and the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war with the remnant of her seed who do what? Keep the commandments of God. And then Revelation 14:12 says this, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And then 22:7 says, blessed I am behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And finally, 22:14, Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Now, folks, if you turn to Revelation 22:14, and you have a newer version of the Bible, it will not say, blessed are those who do His commandments. It says, blessed are those who wash their robes. But the wash their robes comes from a manuscript or two that happens to be the oldest and the most complete. But all the other Greek manuscripts say, keep His commandments. And so the new translators use these other suspect... what's the word? Texts. Called the Alexandrian text. That now many scholars believe are corrupt. And so if you have a newer Bible, it doesn't say those who do the commandments. It says those who wash their robes or keep them clean. Folks, I want you to know that Jesus could not make it any plainer to us. The commandments were not nailed to the cross. In fact, I want to submit to you, if they could have been nailed to the cross, then that means they could have been changed. If they could be changed, Jesus wouldn't have needed to die. Yeah. Don't forget that. Number three, the Ten Commandments belong to Jesus. Do you believe that? Okay, I want to try to convince you. Take your Bibles, this is fun, and go to Exodus 20. What do we find in Exodus 20? Ten Commandments. Go to it. Please. And let's take a look at verses 4, 5, and 6. And which commandment is that? Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? It's 2. Look at what the second commandment says. See if you pick up on it. Here it is. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. For you shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Did you catch it? Okay, what does John 14:15 say? If you love me, keep my commandments. And what does the sixth verse of Exodus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. And suddenly I thought, most Christians believe that God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. Well, that's true, but the point is the God who gave it was Jesus. It's the Old Testament, it's the New Testament. The person who goes between the Father and earth is who? Jesus. He spoke the Ten Commandments. Who do you think the burning bush was? How in the world could Jesus say, no one has seen the Father at any time? Because it's Jesus who has manifested Himself as God on earth. And He said, showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You know, in the Greek, in the Hebrew, that means keep the commandments that belong to me. In the Greek, in the New Testament, keep my commandments means the commandments that belong to me. So folks, Jesus is the one the commandments belong to. They're a description of His character. And of course, the Father's too. And that's why they cannot be done away with, changed, abrogated, nailed to anything. Amen. Number four, the commandments existed before Mount Sinai. I want to show you two things that I hope you enjoy. And again, this is futile, so to speak, because I could turn to a multitude of texts in the Old Testament. But let's just try these two for example. So do you have Genesis 26? I'm going to read 4 and 5 to you. This is where Abraham received the covenant promise. I want you to listen very carefully to what God said about Abraham. So, do you have Genesis 26, 4 and 5? I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of my children. Why didn't you tell me I was reading in Exodus? What's the matter with you people? I started to break out in a sweat. Oh no, Lord, I don't know where I am. Help me, Lord. Okay, 26. I'm in Genesis now. Here we go. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. By the way, that's us. And in your seed, all the nations of earth shall be blessed. Then look what it says. God says, because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. Yes! They had to be in existence before Mount Sinai. By the way, they say that that's when the Ten Commandments were given to the Jews. That also helps them to believe that the Ten Commandments were nailed to the cross, because we know that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He did away with the sacrificial system. But the thing is, the law existed before Mount Sinai. But here's one I even like better. This is one of my favorite. Turn to Genesis 39. And close your children's ears. Okay. You got it? Genesis 39. Let me read this story to you. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Egyptians, bought him. Go to verse 4. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And then he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of the house, and all that he possessed, owned, had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptians' house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that had, all he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Here we go. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and he said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hands. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you're his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And I read this story one day. Remember, this is a hot-blooded teenager, okay? And Potiphar was the highest official. This woman must have been beautiful. Who in the world told Joseph that you don't sleep with somebody else's wife? Where in the world did he get that from? The law existed before Mount Sinai, folks. And if you want to know where it was, I'll tell you where it was. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So before Mount Sinai, God had written on the hearts and minds of men and women the Ten Commandment Law. And then he had to give it on hard, cold stone from a mountain that thundered so horrifically. The Israelites said, "Tell God to be quiet. Have him talk to you. And you tell us what he said, because we will die." And then he wrote it on stone because, folks, for 250 of the 400 years they were in Egypt, they were absolute slaves. They were totally, completely, unequivocally uneducated. They were not allowed to go to church on Sabbath. They worked 7 days a week under the lash. 250 years, he had to scare the bejeebies out of them. And he had to write it on stone. And this quote in Hebrews is talking about the New Testament, that now that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, I'm writing it on the hearts and minds like I did previously. Folks, the Ten Commandments are eternal. Number five and last. Well, then, what was nailed to the cross of Calvary? What two things did God give Moses on Mount Sinai? What's the first thing? Come on. I want to hear somebody say, "The Ten Commandments." All right, that's what I wanted to hear. But what's the second thing that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai after or while he gave him the Ten Commandments? What is it? Yeah, that's right. I like that. The pattern for the sanctuary and its services. So we have the Ten Commandments, and then we have all these rules, regulations, laws, and descriptions of the sanctuary and its services that would be a pattern for the Israelites' worship service and their temple. Two things, not one. When I was a kid, I thought, all he got was the Ten Commandments. No, he got the pattern. So notice this. I just picked 1 Kings out. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, at Sinai. When the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. So what was the purpose of the Ark of the Covenant? What was the purpose of that box? To hold the Ten Commandments. And by the way, if it's called the Ark of the Covenant and it holds the Ten Commandments, then the Ten Commandments represent the covenant. But here, it's called the two tables of stone. But did you know this? Take this book of the law. What law? The specifications for the worship service in the sanctuary. And put it in the what? The side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a what? Three words, folks, come on. Witness against you. Oh, I see, it's too low, right? Witness against you. So there were two things that the ark contained. Oh no, and don't tell me Aaron's rod that budded and manna. That's completely something different. I'm not talking about that. The Ten Commandment box held the Ten Commandments. But on the outside, there must have been a little like a hymnal holder. And the book of all the extra laws that were given to Moses, including the sanctuary service, was put in the side. And that law was to witness against you. By the way, never does the Bible say the Ten Commandments were there to witness against you. Never. But this law was to witness against you. Okay, I'm almost done. Here it is. So what was nailed to the cross of Calvary? Colossians 2:13-14. So, let no one judge... Oh, I'm sorry. I got to read Colossians 2:13-14. Okay? Colossians 2. This is my last text. Actually, I have one more. Okay, you got Colossians 2? Now, here's where they fall all apart, folks. Those that believe the commandments were nailed to the cross of Calvary. Here it is. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, that's Jesus, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. Did you get that? No, you got to look at... I couldn't believe this. He wiped out the handwriting of requirements. And they right away say the handwriting of requirements was the Ten Commandments. But notice what it says. That was against us. Oh, that text is gone. How did it disappear out there? I'm putting this in the side of the ark as a witness against you. What was nailed to the cross was that little book that had all the specifications for being Jewish, which made a separation between the Jews and the people. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He brought the two together. And if that isn't enough for you to ponder, look what verse 16 and 17 says. This is a kicker for me. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or in regard to festival or new moon or Sabbath. Notice it's a small s and it's plural. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Here's the defining utterance by God to eliminate the confusion. The Ten Commandments were not a shadow of something better to come. The Ten Commandments are the transcript of God's character. What was a shadow of things to come was the sanctuary service, all the sacrifices where they were told what to eat, when to eat, what to drink, when to drink. They had festivals, folks. There's your Passover and all the seven feasts that they had throughout the year. And their new moon and their Sabbaths. in some of the festivals, the first day of the festival would be called a Sabbath. A Sabbath, meaning a rest day, whether it was Saturday or not. And the last day of the festival was a Sabbath. You rest, you don't work. And so you see, Colossians is not talking about the Ten Commandments. It's talking about the witness against us, which was the laws of the Jewish ordinances, which were done away with on the cross of Calvary. So, my friends, if you notice carefully in the scripture reading that Callan read for us, well, wait, I need to correct that, that he recited for us so ably. Did you notice what he said? Psalms 119. I got to turn to it. Psalms 119. 126. Look what it says. The title of my sermon, It's Time to Act. And so you and I got the idea that we're being told to do something. But that's not what the text says. The text says this, in closing. It is time for you to act, O Lord. Amen? It's time for you to act, O Lord. Why? Because they have regarded your law as void. And remember, your law, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The commandments that belong to me. My law. And folks, I'm declaring to you, it's time for our God to act, because too many different organizations and even Christians are claiming that the law is null and void. And it isn't. And so, my friends, we have a task as Seventh-day Adventists to uphold the commandments with the love of Jesus. We are to take the law and gospel, and no one should be able to put the two together so admirably as a Seventh-day Adventist. Because the two are inseparable. You see, on Mount Sinai, God gave the law and He gave the gospel. The sanctuary is the gospel. And so it's time, we're praying now. Folks, pray. When you pray every day, say, Lord, it's time for you to act because they have made void your law. And because they made void your law, they completely disregard the seventh-day Sabbath, and they lose the blessing that God intended for everybody to have. The Puritans described the law as the needle that draws the gospel thread. Wycliffe said, the highest service to which a man may attain on earth is to preach the law of God. Wesley said, I suggest preaching 9/10 law and 1/10 grace. I don't know if I agree with that. Finney said, failure to use the law is almost certain to result in false hope, the introduction of a false standard of Christian experience, and to fill the church with false converts. Bunyan said, the man who does not know the nature of the law cannot know the nature of sin. Luther said, the first duty of the gospel preacher is to declare God's law and to show the nature of sin. And finally, Spurgeon said, they will never accept grace till they tremble before the just and holy law. My friends, it's time to act. Father, I want to thank you for the words you repetitively spoke to us from the upper room till the Garden of Gethsemane. which highlights the most important things that you wanted your disciples to know before the crisis of the hour struck. And now we're facing the crisis, Lord. And we pray for your Spirit to convict us so that first and foremost we would love one another. We would ask the Father in the name of Jesus, and we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will keep your law. Bless each one to this end, in Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.